movies, shorts, film.
How about a festival?
Today, we meet Johnny Catalano with Catalano Film Festival. That's right, Film Festival, happening here in Miamisburg, March 1st. Come on in and hear all the details to get your movie time on.
Welcome to the Dayton Approved Podcast with Frank O'Neill. This is where the local Dayton businesses get a spotlight.
Welcome to Dayton Approved, exploring Dayton small businesses and nonprofits with Dayton Discount Furniture. Today we have Johnny Catalano with the Catalano Film Festival.
That's right.
How you doing, Johnny?
Good, Frank. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I was obviously a little nervous with your last name, Catalano. I've said it like 50 times before we started recording, but I think I got it down now.
You did great. I think you're on the right track.
I appreciate it. Well, let's jump into what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about, obviously, the film festival.
Yeah.
That's going to be coming up here soon. Mm-hmm. I believe you said it's going to be March 1st.
That's correct. Saturday, okay. March 1st.
Yep. Saturday, March 1st. So we'll talk more a little bit about that film festival here in a little bit. But I like to start off with talking about, you know, everyone's little parts of their mission statement.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that the first part that I jotted down is you like to celebrate and highlight regional cinema.
Yeah.
So tell me about that. How do you guys do that with the film festival and whatnot?
Yeah, great question. As I see it, there's films. There's two types of films, really. I mean, there's Hollywood films and then there's independent films.
Right.
And in even a subsect of that, there's regional independent films. Now, with regional film, that basically means when, I feel like, in lay terms, regional cinema is, films that are made in specific regions of the country, maybe even the world, but in the terms of the United States, we're talking like, in the Midwest, especially in our neck of the woods.
Right.
I feel like, maybe a lot of people, of course, go to see, the Hollywood films, or maybe they're watching films on Netflix, which are made by, massive major studios. But they may not know that there's filmmakers living right next door,
right,
and
yeah,
are making great work.
Locally here in Dayton.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, Dayton, Cincinnati, Columbus, Cleveland, you name it. There's people out there who are making really, great art, great films. And they're a lot of the time, there's no money behind it necessarily. Like there's no huge production studio that's telling them, oh, you have to make it this way. You have to do it this way. They're making it from the heart and everything's usually just straight from the heart. And there's really no capital gain from it necessarily.
Yeah, they're just doing it from an artist standpoint.
Absolutely. And I think there's a purity to that. And my mission, my goal is to uplift those filmmakers and to, showcase their work in a, grand way where it encourages them to keep wanting to make their films,
know. And you want them to keep going.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I want people to know about them,
Yeah.
There's filmmakers that, anytime I show their films in the festival, even like people in my family or maybe friends are like, oh, is Joe making a new film this year? They're even keeping track, like they're a Hollywood director.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So
they're keeping tabs. They're excited for the new.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think that's one of the main, achievements, I guess, of the festival is being able to do that for these filmmakers that I really admire and respect their work. And I just want them to continue to do it. And I think having this like annual thing where we just celebrate them is important,
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I know that you were saying that you do normal or longer films or whatever,
yeah,
but also a lot of it's shorts. And I know
sure.
said, I believe this year, mainly there are going to be short films is the main showcase.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't even know if a lot of people know even where to go look for short films other than maybe online, it's just not some...
That's a good point.
Don't really have a good place to showcase them. So,
yeah,
to celebrate that and to build awareness for it, I think is just amazing, especially when you're dealing with local artists here in the Dayton area.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Now, I know you said that you are an Ohioan for life so far.
So far.
And you are a Daytonian of 5 years.
That's correct. I grew up in the Cincinnati area, mm-hmm. for people who aren't familiar with like the, you know, greater Cincinnati area, I'm from Westchester.
Okay, yeah.
So, you know, grew up down the street from like Kings Island and all that type of stuff, which was fun.
I love me Kings Island, man. I love it. I love it. I love it.
I love it too. We have a season pass and we go. It's fun still. We still make the drive, you know. Yeah, I don't live there anymore. But
it's worth it.
It's worth it. Plus my parents live down there, so you know, there you can stay the night. I moved up here. My wife, my now wife, my girlfriend at the time, she grew up in Beaver Creek area, so you know, lived in Dayton her whole life. We met in college, you know, we were dating when we both graduated, and so we just ended up moving back to her house, you know. So
yeah, her neck of the woods, we'll say.
Yeah, her neck of the woods. So you know, it's you know, just like moving to any new place. Like obviously, it took me a while to like you know learn like where's the nearest like Kroger, you know, those types of like normal things. I soon grew to just love Dayton, all things Dayton, you know. Yeah. Still, the pizza still has, still learning the life.
Yeah. You know? Not a Marion's lover, huh?
I grew up on the Roses, you know.
Okay. So, yes,
like,
yes.
I'm over Roses, like, that's like my favorite pizza of all time.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people maybe don't feel that way about it.
No,
but.
I mean, well, I know people from Cincinnati love it.
Yes.
I know.
Yeah.
My family's from Cincinnati, and
Okay. Anytime
we had a get together, it's La Rosa's.
Yeah.
But what's interesting up here in Dayton, it's Marion's.
Marion's.
Yeah, it's all that thin.
Yeah.
Square pizza.
Square. It's all about the squareage, as they say.
Yeah.
Dayton pizza is actually kind of a rich history. I don't want to get too in the weeds with this one, but you know, there, you have like Marion's, you have Cassano's, you have Ron's. Actually,
right.
That's in Miamisburg area,
yeah,
which is kind of a similar Dayton style pizza as well. But yeah, I'm a huge, you know, still growing to like that one.
Yeah.
But I love all things Dayton. You know, we go down to, you know, and it's such a rich arts history here. Actually, you know, with you know, you have Paul Laurence Dunbar. Who is from here, like a world-renowned poet, you know, and the Schuster Center, I think, is that whole Dayton Arts Alliance is just one of the true treasures of the city.
There's a lot of, was it Frank Lloyd Wright homes around, too?
Yeah, yeah, there's one in Springfield, which is really cool. And, of course, you have the wonderful industrial revolution-type stuff going on as well. You have the Wright brothers, you have...
Oh, yeah.
Kettering, all that they did with, and then you have, you know, the National Cash Register, all that good stuff, you know, all the.
It's true. It was a bunch of great stuff.
Hey, and of course, Dave Chappelle lives
down
the street from here. So,
that's right. That is right.
We have some really cool, great art history, that, you know, maybe a lot of people aren't aware of, but, you know, I think that Dayton, is still very strong in my opinion, especially with that Schuster Center. You have a lot of like the Neon, you have movie theaters that are playing, you know, independent cinema, just like the Plaza is, the one where this festival takes place. So I grew to love Dayton, and I just grew to love the area. I actually like, because I teach at UC, so I like how Dayton's a little less
congested.
Hustle and bustle.
Yeah,
you know?
I call it congested, but yeah.
Congested,
I know what you mean.
For sure. Yeah. It's a lot like it's a lot less
city-like.
Yeah. Like maybe that's somebody's thing, but that's never been my thing. You know, I'm a suburb kid, you know, so I kinda like kind of the easygoing nature of Dayton for sure.
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of people I've met that not originally from Dayton or they visited Dayton, they like it.
Yeah.
They do. They genuinely like it. The people that don't like Dayton, oddly enough, are the people that's never left Dayton.
True.
They just have no idea how good they've got it.
Yeah, that's very true.
It's really interesting.
Yeah.
What I've noticed. So.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, I listen. It's my
everything
home now,
you need.
So.
Everything you need's here.
Yeah.
Everything you need.
Everything.
It's great.
Yeah.
And affordable to live.
Mm-hmm.
Safe, great for families. I mean, it's a phenomenal place.
I love
it myself.
Yeah. And I live in Centerville, so I love that. Especially.
Oh, there you go. I grew up in Centerville, so I know Centerville very well.
Great, yeah.
Well, nice. Well, that jumps us right into, I guess I could say, your story.
Yeah.
So how did you decide you wanted to do all this stuff and, you know, have a film festival, and where did it all start? Let us know.
Well, I think it all starts... way back in the womb. I'm just joking.
Yeah.
Of course, like I think it starts.
You heard a movie being played while your mom was, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. That was exactly it. No, I think it was, you know, it's if you love something, I think it usually starts at like a pre-conscious level, you know, like I probably was like 6 or 7, maybe even earlier. I don't know. My dad was watching a movie for a few dollars more, the Sergio Leone spaghetti western from Clint Eastwood.
Okay.
Which we're actually showing at the Plaza Theater late in February.
Oh,
but,
wow.
It's kind of cool. That was kind of like when the light flipped on, I think. Mm-hmm. I just remember my dad calling me in. There's like this end duel scene with like, you know, Mexican standoff type thing where they are, you know, beautiful music by Ennio Morricone is playing. And it was just a very powerful moment for me because my dad was like, hey, watch this. This is great.
Yeah.
And then I remember even hearing him say, like, this is a Sergio Leone movie. Like, that was the first time I heard a director, like, was even behind something,
right.
You know? I just thought these movies just existed.
Yeah.
I didn't even think there was anybody behind them, you know? So that was really kind of, like, what kicked it off. There's been if I went down the line of all the movies that, like, probably, like, maybe want to even do it even more, pursue this life in film, I could, but yeah. I won't waste too much time on that. But yeah, I mean, that was really it. And, I ended up, you know, I had two kind of passions. You know, I always had this passion to join the military as well.
Yeah.
So I ended up doing that at quite an early age. I joined when I was 17. My parents had to, like, sign off on it and everything.
Which is cool because it's not really too heard of in today's world. Cause like everything's like 18, gotta wait.
Right.
I remember, you know, my parents, they're a little older. I remember hearing them say, like, you know, oh, yeah, you can join at, you know, 15, 16.
Right, right.
You know, your parents just sign off. And I'm like, no way. Like, that would never happen. I could imagine that happening in today's world. So
definitely not that young, but I'd say even 17 is a little too young.
Yeah.
I was too young. Yeah. I think, you know, am I happy I did it when I did it? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think you always are when you're done with something.
It's cool, though, because, like, you're out, right? Like, you're on your own.
Yes, that was like the first time I was like legit, you know, mm-hmm. on my own. It was a scary process for sure. Little 17-year-old Johnny's probably like, if I had to go back and be like, man, come on. You know, it was certainly an interesting experience. You had to grow up pretty much on the fly. You know? And it was certainly, it's informed a lot of my artistic life as well, I think, you know, just, all the people you meet and the experiences you have, and it makes you grow like really thick skin as well, you know. Mm-hmm. When you have you know, drill sergeants, you know, saying all types of expletives and stuff like that in your face, and
really,
you know,
pushes who you are as a person, your characteristics, your personality,
right?
I mean, it really focuses or makes you focus on who are you as a person.
And that's
And they break
of,
you down. I know that. They break you down.
They break you down. I think that's really where I kind of like was like, I think I want to do this film thing, you know? Where I was like, this, you know, and I'm still in the National Guard and I'm, you know, moving to public affairs and all that good stuff, which is like kind of the film realm of the Army.
Yeah.
But, you know, still, I think that in that moment when they're kind of breaking you down to your little essence, you know, like who you are, you know, that's when I was like, I think I would just want to, explore, existence for a living, you know? And that's generally what an artist does, you know?
Yeah.
Not to sound like overly pretentious, but like, that's kind of how I want to dedicate my life. Is making art and celebrating art. And, I think that was
just existing.
Existing. And what's really great about, you know, having art in your life is that you get to not exist with like both eyes closed. You could exist with both eyes open, you know, mm-hmm. and you're always digesting things in your life. And you're hopefully, as an artist, you are displaying that in your art. You know, like
it's like being heard.
Being heard for sure, and for me, like, the cinema that I like are not cinema that like answers questions. I like cinema that asks questions.
Yeah,
and that to me is a great experience. It's therapeutic, you know,
right?
Because life's hard. You know, it's a hard And, you know, if you look at history, if you look at world events, like, you're like, wow, life really is hard. But, you know, having art as an outlet, I think, is super necessary. Even if you're just digesting art, you don't always have to be making art. Like, I think everybody needs music. Everybody needs movies. Yeah. Everybody needs TV shows. Anything that, like, you like to absorb throughout your day, everybody needs it, you know? So... that's in the army. It's where I really learned, like, okay, I think this is what I want to dedicate my life to, you know, in some way, shape, or form. So, that's kind of where the whole filmmaking thing began. And of course, I went to school for it. You know, I went to Bowling Green. I did film production there, and I graduated at the nick of time of COVID. Yeah, in 2020, when you know, not only, you know, film jobs weren't available, but just like jobs were hardly available to like newly graduated students.
Oh yeah. I mean, it was just like a hole. It was wild.
It was a hole, and it was tough going, you know. I don't even think I remember all the things I applied for, let alone, you know, interviewed for. So it was an interesting time for sure. I was kind of a lost puppy, you know. I was like, I have this degree, you know, I want to use it, you know, but I don't know if that's viable, you know, and like, is it viable here in Dayton? Is it viable? Do I have to like move somewhere or anything like that? So that was, interesting. And I it was after I actually, interviewed for this one job, in Dayton, where I was going to be like their videographer and editor or whatever. Okay. And I actually got it.
Oh, nice.
And, well, you say that now, but the job ended up being a little interesting, to say the least. Like, it's hard to even describe. But it was so bad that I think I only worked it one day.
Oh, really?
One full day. And I was like, to my wife now, girlfriend at the time, I was like, is it okay if I don't work this job? Yeah. Because this isn't working for me. It was just, it was at... absolutely not what I wanted to do. Yeah. I was like filming like real estate, like, and it was for a home healthcare company shall not be named. It was interesting. It was an interesting venture.
Do they still exist, the home healthcare company?
I don't know. I don't know if they do or they don't.
Yeah.
It's been a while. And again, they shall remain nameless because they're a local company, I think.
Okay.
But interesting ownership. So I came home. I was just defeated. You know, yeah. I was like, I'm like, this isn't for me. Like, I don't know if anything's for me. So I immediately just like called up my one friend who I knew from a film internship. And she like produced a couple shorts and made a couple shorts, short films.
Okay.
And I was like, hey, do you just want to make a short film? Like, let's just, you know, do something, you know, artistic. You know, like, let's try to stop with the whole, like, career mindset thing for a second. Let's just do something artistic, like, on a Saturday night. You know, let's shoot a film. So we shot this film. It was called Funeral for Fromansky. Interesting name. I acted in it. I directed it. I wrote it. It was a really awesome experience. Making a any type of film is always fun. But this one was therapeutic for me, you know, just being able to
most
be behind
it. That's what I was, you know, I've talked to several artists and, you know, the whole process of art is really a therapeutic ordeal. It's like, I got to get it out. I'm feeling, I'm doing something, I got to get it out. And they do with whatever it is, with the film they make or the painting they paint or the song they sing, you know, they just, whatever it is. And it's very interesting. I've never personally experienced that. I don't know how, if I can.
You never
know. I would like to one day maybe get there, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
But I hear it, and I see it, and I understand it.
Yeah.
I just don't know if I can do it, you know?
I get, and trust me, when you step into the arena at first, you don't know if you can do it either. You know, like, I had no idea if I could direct a film. I didn't know, like, you always hear about directors and, like, what their process is and everything, but you really don't know until you're on set.
Right.
And you're like, you know, under the, you know, the gun, essentially. You have to make something happen. Right. So that was a fun experience. The whole experience editing the film was a blast. And the screening of it was really what got me into like what we're going to talk about today, the festival. I had a short film on my hands that I wanted to show people, that I wanted to premiere to people. And I was like, well, it's 40 minutes, and I don't know if a lot of people are going to come out, get a babysitter, all that good stuff for a 40-minute film, So I was just thinking about it, could I maybe show a couple other friends' films and then package it as one night of regional cinema. And that's essentially what I ended up doing. And that event was just called Regional Cinema at the Plaza Theater. And that was the first event I did at the Plaza. Mm-hmm. And that kind of ignited a relationship with us too, that has been going ever since. That event went great. And I was just thinking to myself after that, what if I just did this annually and just branded it as something, just called it something. I figured I had a last name that kind of sounded like a fancy schmancy European film festival or something like that. So I thought
when I first saw it, and I'm sure other people think this too.
Okay.
Catalina wine mixer, baby.
That's why last year I always have a wine sale.
There you go.
And I called the Catalano wine mixer.
All right.
So all wines $5 or something that. So it's fun. I definitely have fun with it, that's kind of the following year. So that screening was in 2022 for my short film. And then 2023 is when I started the Catalano Film Festival and so on and so forth, and this is the third year.
So they, City of Fairborn last year started this thing called a wine walk. It's the first year they did it, and they actually had a really good turnout.
Oh, wow.
And the whole idea was all the small businesses would buy wine. Huh. And then the chamber ran it, and they paid $25 for a ticket.
Oh, wow, that's
and
not bad.
Every business would give wine out.
Cool.
So we had to buy the wine, the small businesses, but it got 70 people into the store at different times doing what, because they would
just walk around after wine.
And then if they went to all 30, well, there was 30 businesses that participated. So if they went to all 30. So that's a lot of wine.
30.
Yeah. So they told us, they're like, there's 30. So you only got to give them a little wine. And they do all that. They get their passport signed. We'd sign it.
When is that?
It was done at the, I don't even know when it was. It was in the summer.
Oh, man.
When they did it.
And I'm going to empty my schedule out.
Oh, it was awesome. And then if you do that, then your name would be put into the drawing.
Mm-hmm.
And all of us had to donate one bottle of wine.
Oh, cool.
So you would win. The winner got 30 bottles of wine.
Wow.
So $25 to do it.
Yeah.
And then you had 1 in 70 chance. Not everyone finished.
Right.
So let's just say half of them finished. You got 1 in 35 chance of winning 30 bottles of wine for $25.
Wow.
I mean, it's a no-brainer.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's a really cool event.
Plus, you get to drink wine at all the places.
I know.
And it was cool because we got
to... It makes shopping all the more fun.
Absolutely. And then we also got to, they got to meet. I got to meet a bunch of people.
Yeah.
So, past customers, potential future customers.
Yeah.
Just be part of the community. Yeah. It was a great, nice little walk. It was fun.
Yeah. I should tell that to the Miamisburg Chamber of Commerce. They probably
call it the Catalano
Wine Mixer.
Yes.
Frank, you just gave me a great idea. We'll put that in the pocket.
That's right. Catalano Wine Mixer right
Man.
There.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Great idea.
Walking it around. Then you could use it as a, just get, 10% or something.
Yeah.
Or, maybe they'll let you just run it. I don't know.
That'd be awesome. Man, that's a good idea.
So there you go. It's a nice little fundraising thing to do.
Yeah, I didn't think I'd be getting great ideas.
And get the community out.
Yeah,
right?
That's awesome.
People
man.
Love wine walks.
They do.
So, but anyway, enough of that. I don't know. I was just thinking about that. But
now we got a great idea out of it, so that's all right.
Hey, there you go. But that's what I was thinking of when you said that. Catalina wine makes it funny. So yeah, that brought you to, that's how you, I guess, figured out how to do this film festival then.
Yeah.
And now this is the third annual film festival that you guys are doing.
Yeah, absolutely proud to say that. It's interesting when time passes, you know what I mean? Like, I'm hitting my 10-year mark with the Army. It's the third year of the festival. It's been a couple years of like some other places I've been working, you know, so I'm like, it's like, you always are like, wow, it's that much time has passed, but yeah, it's a third.
Just wait till you get older, then you can say, man, 20 years.
I know. Yeah, well, I'm looking for, but trust me, when Catalano Film Festival has our 20, I want that to be a big year. Well, even 10, you know, 10's gonna be a big one.
10 is a big one.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to 10 and 20, and hopefully, you know, obviously, like, you know, and every year I'm always building kind of like a network of people who are interested in like working and collaborating. So like, hopefully, like even when I'm gone, you know, like which happens to all of us, you know, like,
of course,
I want the festival to continue on, you know,
because
like to me that's important to just have, you know.
Now, you said the original one, you had a film. Have you been putting a film in every year?
No, I'm a. I'm a little precious with my film making and creativity. So it's been 3 years since I've made, or at least 4 years since I made a short, but I've been developing a feature for a while now.
Okay.
You know, that will probably be another couple years.
Okay.
Just cause you know, funding and making sure,
sure.
it gets distributed correctly and all that.
So, I mean, truly, I mean, you're doing this festival. It's, you know, you're doing it because of Celebration of Art. I mean,
yeah,
it's not like you're not getting rich off it. Let's just put that out there.
No, definitely not. No, definitely.
So
not.
Like, you originally started for yourself. I get that.
But yeah.
In reality, now you said, you know, you're not even putting a film in it. So.
But you know, for me, like it, I always, even if I'm not putting a film in it, every year feels like an artistic expression in a way. Like, even though I might not be telling a narrative film, which of course is like always like what every filmmaker wants to do.
Yeah.
Still like programming it, doing all the promotionals for it, doing all the press for it, selecting the films, all that good stuff. That to me is in and of itself an artistic.
Form of art.
Yeah, absolutely. And I, under my, you know, title, I suppose, I guess I'm a exhibitor of sorts, I guess, like a film exhibitor. So that to me is an important part of me as an artist. You know, I always want to maintain that kind of like film exhibitor aspect of my life. Like just always, even like throughout
I mean, it keeps
the year.
You in the scene still.
Yeah, absolutely. It keeps me in the scene, and it also, you know, I'm a firm believer in educating people on film, both modern and especially older films, you know, and that's what I do as a teacher at UC, and that's also what I do with the Plaza when we show older films. I just love cinema. I live and breathe it, so, like, I just want to, like, I always see it as, like, I may not make a film every year, but I will have the festival every year.
Yeah.
So I always have an artistic outlet, you know.
No, I just think it's cool because, like, you know, it's you're not doing it for yourself.
Yeah.
Is the point I was trying to make. Like,
right.
You're doing it for art in general. And
for
that's
sure.
That's awesome. That's admirable. That's cool.
Oh,
that's
what
I was just trying to point out.
Oh, no. I appreciate that. And I'll take the humility.
Yeah. That's, you know, that's all it was.
Yeah.
But, no, that's cool. So, I mean, it's a really interesting story. It's inspiring. It's great, you know, for our, you know, people that want to be artists, and giving people an outlet to show that is really cool. But that leads us to the next question, which is like, how do you support local artists? And I mean, obviously that's an easy one for you because you do it in so many different ways. You know, just giving them a place to showcase it and, you know, bringing all sorts of people to, you know, to the area that support, you know, talk about like kind of what the festival does, I guess, like how that does help the local community.
For sure. You know, there's tangible stuff, you know, like, for instance, it's usually just one long day of just like film, and I treat it as a festival. So like people can come in and out, if they want to see a certain film, they could watch that and they can go and, you know, get a drink somewhere or go eat somewhere, go get coffee somewhere. So there's that tangible stuff where like, it's just helping the local businesses with, you know, folks who are just going out to get something to eat. And there's a bunch of people who are in Miamisburg who wouldn't be there otherwise, you know, right. For the festival. You know, I've had people come in from Pittsburgh, from West Virginia, from Indiana, from Northern Ohio, all the way from Cleveland. So absolutely. And that to me is a cool experience. Cause like, you know, unless you live in this area, you may not even have heard of Miamisburg, you know? So and they have a wonderful downtown. It's been so, revitalized. Mm-hmm. There's some really great new restaurants that have opened up. New coffee shops, all that good stuff. So like, it's really cool to just see people coming in and, treating it like a legit film festival and, you know, having a good time and maybe going out to get a beer at the new brewery across the street or getting something to eat, you know? So that's that tangible stuff.
We're going
stuff.
To that Good Time Charlie's. Always a good time.
Yeah, absolutely. It's always a good time at Good Time Charlie's.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's that, you know, instant economic, like, you know, you could see it, you know. But then, of course, you have, like you said, with just showing the films and stuff like that. Like, I get how hard it is for some of these filmmakers to make the films. And I 100% understand how hard it is to book an event, to plan an event, and to rent out an event space. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not cheap for these filmmakers. And a lot of film festivals charge these filmmakers like hand and foot just for submitting, and they may not even get in.
Yeah.
My film festival has always been my invite. I look at films all year long, and then I'm like, okay, here are the films I feel like are interesting and will curate well into the festival, and I don't charge filmmakers.
Yeah, that's cool, because I know that's something that you said is a little unique as well.
I think so. You know, I think it's... again, I don't want to profiteer off of, like, the filmmakers. You know, I'll obviously, like, take the tickets, you know, because I ran the event and all that good stuff. It's a lot of work, but I don't charge submission fees. I don't do any of that. Just because I want it to be, I don't want it to get to a point where it becomes cynical, you know, where people are like, oh, he's just doing that just to make, you know, money off of our projects or whatever it is, off our art. I don't see it that way. I see it as a celebration, and not as a, like, you know, oh, this is a get rich quick scheme, which a lot of film festivals actually are anymore.
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
That doesn't surprise me.
It's a sad world out there.
It really is.
Yeah. Taking advantage of a lot of people who just want, you know, recognition or something like that. So, I try to avoid that and stay true to what the festival is and have it be human. You know, this isn't a online festival where you don't even know who's in charge or anything like that.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, you know who's in charge of this one. It's my last name. Like, I am in charge, you know? So, like, you know, you have somebody you can trust and go to, and I'm not trying to, like, you know, screw you over. Yeah. I'm just trying to have a good time if you're, show great films.
You also give awards, too. So tell us a little bit about how that works.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we do give out awards. I try not to make it, like, super competitive, but, you know, I do want to recognize people and their achievements and all that good stuff. So, you know, there's a bank of, you know, people I've met over the years, some ex-professors and stuff like that who look at the films. They're kind of considered the judges, you know. So there's kind of like an impartial look at the films, and they are the ones who vote on each category. So who wins, like, best director, who wins best actor, who wins best short film, so on and so forth, you know, just down the line. So that's always fun. I think people don't, you know, they obviously, like, really love when they win an award. For a lot of people, this sometimes is their first ever, like, award for working in film, you know.
Yeah.
You know, we don't do things for, some people might, but, like, you know, I think for the most part, people aren't doing stuff for awards, but, like, awards are nice.
Yeah.
Like, I think that, like, you're lying if you are saying an award isn't nice, you know, like, it recognizes, a job well done, you know, and all professions do it, you know, like, military does it all the time, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's a validation, you know, and I think that validating some of these filmmakers is important to just keep them going, keep them encouraged. Like, you are doing well, you are doing great work, you know, and just keep going.
So some of the things that set you apart or different, I know you said that, you know, you pretty much do all this stuff yourself, the graphics, and setting it up and all that as well. So you did briefly talk about that. But also you were saying, you know, the atmosphere that you created. It's not a competitive atmosphere. It's more of just an atmosphere celebration. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and this is just an energy that I think was organic, you know. Mm-hmm. I didn't like necessarily like try to do this, but like I've noticed just I think with my attitude or like mm-hmm. with, you know, and by the way, my wife helps tremendously. So I definitely
gotta
like
give props where it's deserved.
I do. Like she helps tremendously, and I wanted to make sure I say that in this podcast for sure. Because it's very true. So like kind of the atmosphere we both make for the films, like we're welcoming to the filmmaker. We want to make it feel like they're at home. And also, even though there's awards and stuff like that, I've just noticed there's an energy of just like happiness. Mm-hmm. Every time I see people, like it's always just like a lot of people talking about each other's films with each other, not a competitive, just like, wow, how'd you do that? Like, what made you think of that? They're talking about, they're getting instant feedback on their films, these filmmakers. Cause like sometimes when you just release a film on YouTube, mm-hmm. you might see like a comment or two. They're just like, great job. You know, thanks mom. You know, like it's nice to see instant feedback, from people that you don't even know and aren't in your, you know, your sphere of, collaborators.
Yeah.
You want to get outside perspectives. That's very important as a filmmaker. And I always urge filmmakers, even if it's not at my festival, just do that. Because you need to know if your film's working or not, or like what you're doing is working, you know, with an audience. Cause that's instant feedback, you know, mm-hmm. a joke lands, people are laughing, it's working, you know, if it's not working. So, but yeah, that being said, like obviously people are nervous to always see their films in front of an audience, you know. Sometimes you'll see a filmmaker like go out to the lobby and like, oh man, I gotta wait till my film's over, I just can't watch it. But I get that, you know, like everyone's been there if they've made a film and, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. But no, you know, always after the screenings, like everybody's just always like having fun, like they're always celebrating, like, you know, even if somebody won an award over somebody else, they're always just like, oh, great job, like great work, you know, like stuff like that. So it's just an atmosphere of celebration, and it's not an atmosphere of like, oh, like they won this year, like oh my gosh, like it. I want to keep it that way, you know, like I always want to maintain that like atmosphere of, well, first of all, grandeur. I always try to make it feel like a real deal event, that people are looking forward to like all year, you know, and that celebrate their films and make it, you know, have an element of class, you know.
Yeah.
it's a classy affair. But not like, you know, suit and tie classy. Right, you can wear whatever. But but also just an atmosphere of celebration and accepting everybody's art, you know, and taking it in.
Yeah, giving people the opportunity to, you know, like we kind of touched a little bit about, was like, you know, feeling heard or,
yes,
you know,
absolutely.
Accepted. Mm-hmm. I know we were in the pre-show, we were talking about, you know, imposter syndrome.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you said that's a big thing in the industry. So let's talk a little bit about that, because I find that fascinating.
Absolutely. I mean, I
it
think,
makes sense, though, when you said
100%.
It.
Yeah. You know, I only know, like, what I know, you know, and the people that I do know. I'm sure that, like, even Hollywood directors deal with this, you know, who knows. But I think everybody always has that element of imposter syndrome if you're working in the arts, you know. Like, is what I'm doing valid?
Yeah.
Is what I'm doing, like, you know, changing the world by storm, you know what I mean? Stuff like that, you know, like, I've even had it, like, where I'm like, maybe writing something, mm-hmm. and I question, like, is this really, like, valuable? You know, like, is this
is
even
this
worth?
Important?
Like,
and, am
yeah,
I important?
Yeah, right, and you don't want to be, like, super pretentious about that type of stuff, but, like, everybody deals with it, you know?
Sure.
And, that happens with all the filmmakers in the festival, and you know, they would even say that, so I'm sure they're not even offended when I say that. But you know, they just want to know that their work is valid, especially like when you feel like you're in a regional filmmaking, you know, atmosphere where a lot of your films probably are just going out into the vacuum. You know, like they're not really being seen by many, many people. They're not like blockbusters that are coming out at your, you know, near Cinemark. You know, these are films that are being shown at theaters or like maybe on you know, YouTube or something like that. So I definitely want to like showcase their films and make them feel like valid artists, because they are, you know, like right. not just like, oh, you guys are these lowly, you know, film, like the, to me, they're as valid filmmakers as some Hollywood filmmakers, honestly. Like the only difference between the filmmaker to my festival and Hollywood filmmakers is money.
Yeah,
that's the only difference. The all the talent, all the skill is there. Money is the only thing keeping them from, you know, having the latest hit on Netflix or whatever.
You think so? It's 100%. That's it.
100%. There are some filmmakers I absolutely think could be easily working filmmakers in the industry, but there's obviously gatekeepers in the industry. Do you know what I mean? So, and it requires money to make a film.
Right.
Some of these people are making these shorts for like peanuts. You know what I mean? Like maybe a grand. And some blood, sweat, and tears, and they're really, really great. Like, I don't want people to think like, "Oh, I'm going to this film to see him like, you know, homemade movies." These are very professional films. And all that.
How are I heard vertical films are becoming a thing because of our phones?
Well, yeah. I mean, like me and I, you know, my day job's kind of advertising, so like a lot of the vertical stuff. Everything's vertically shot because, like, we're shooting for Instagram reels, TikTok, all that stuff.
Yeah, so like a full blown movie is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that's the future. Like, who knows what the future is?
And if you think about that, it's a total different shot.
Oh, 100%.
Than
yeah.
what we're used to, because we're all like wider, wider, wider.
Right, right.
And but that, really, when we're looking at our phone, it's straight up and down.
True. Yeah, and that's and I obviously like the advent of all those social medias and and what have you, but. That's obviously going to change cinema a lot. You know, there's going to be a time where, like, narrative film might be just, like silent film. You know what I mean? Like, are people going to be making narrative films? Who knows? I just don't know. I can't tell you what the future holds for you know, this medium. But I know what made me love the medium. So, like, that's really all I can kind of like give towards it, you know what I mean? Because like at the end of the day, a lot of stuff's out of your control.
Yeah.
With like the industries
where
that
it's
you
going
work
and
in.
All that.
Yeah, and you know all the you know unfortunate LA fires that just occurred. You know, like
yeah, that's a terrible thing.
It is, but I think it's also kind of starting to almost this element of, or at least this thought of, should all the industry be in this one place, you know, like why can't we spread the wealth?
Yeah.
You know, like why can't there be studios in Cincinnati? Why can't there be, I mean, there are, you know, but like there are Hollywood films coming in shooting here. Like why can't we have homegrown films?
Yeah. Why has it got to be all in one area?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And obviously you have Atlanta, which is a big hub. Like New York still has some.
Well,
you know,
I mean, I think it's because of the history of LA though.
Yeah.
The land of dreams.
Absolutely.
It
yeah,
was
absolutely.
Sold on, it was a dream that was sold, and it got to the point where it was very, very rich people.
Yes.
And then it's, I can do whatever I want.
Right. Yeah. Very true.
Let's be real. Yeah. That's why there's a lot of crazy stuff going on in LA.
For sure. For sure. It's a,
and
so
they needed a way to pull talent in to be able to do their shenanigans.
Yeah. Well, and you know, and just for me and
follow
my,
the money, you find the truth, though, is what I always
very
tell
true. The money's usually the source of most things.
Yeah, yeah.
Good or bad.
Yeah, yeah.
But
I'm not saying it's either good or bad. I'm just saying that's what it came down to.
Oh, 100%. I mean, people. Yeah.
And then people go out there. I mean, I remember people when I was in my 20s. I remember people would be like, "Yeah, I'm going to LA." I'm like, "What's your plan?" I don't know. I'm just going out there.
Well,
I'll figure it out.
That's what I was about to say. Yeah, I know that story well. You know? Like I have a lot of
friends. It's still a dream today.
That.
Yeah,
very much.
But they've gotten into a lot of crazy stuff.
And that's what I want. I would love in my lifetime, like especially somebody who loves what I wanted.
Yeah,
you know, loves cinema. Like I would love
to clean that up.
to clean that up and like and like nothing against like LA and stuff. Like you know, obviously I don't want to, you know, speak ill of it, especially right now, but like, I would love if there was just more of a democratic, filmmaking world in the United States, you know, like why can't people be making these homegrown films? Like why can't the money move, out of just one singular place. Like, mm-hmm. why can't we move studios all across the country?
It's because they figured out how to do it, and it's also a combination of they paid their dues and they feel sure, entitled.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And it's like, you know, I had to do X, Y, Z to get where I'm at, and now I'm going to make it even harder for the next person to get there.
Yep.
And that's the nature of what
people
do.
Well, it's a gatekeeping. It's a gatekeeping.
Like you said, the whole gatekeeping. Exactly.
Yeah, for sure.
But I think with new technology comes new opportunity.
Like 100%.
YouTube, even with X being doing video there now. I mean, all sorts of stuff.
It's interesting. There's a filmmaker, Francis Ford Coppola, who made The Godfather and Apocalypse Now and all those great films. He at one point in one interview I saw, and it was funny because he even mentioned Ohio at one point, but he was like, with the new technology, I think the next great artist, the next great filmmaker who makes the most, you know, a powerful film that moves generations will be some girl, you know, in her backyard shooting with a video camera. He said this in the 90s in Ohio or something like that.
Yeah.
I'm like, that to me spoke to me because I'm like, with our modern technology, it's really like we can make films look very, very professional.
Oh,
And look really, really good. It's just about, you know.
Same with the audio and music.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's amazing. Like, you can be anywhere.
You know, again, like if we just have a little more money just to make these shorts and the features, you know, like I think that, again, like these films could easily be heavy hitters in another world, you know, and or at least in the next 5-10 years.
Yeah.
Again, like I just think it's very doable.
There was some sort of platform that would make sense for it.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, well, and again, it doesn't matter if I don't mind if we, you know, sell these films to, you know, Amazon Prime or Netflix or what have you. Like that's all good with me. It's just about, you know, getting the work out there, getting it done, you know.
And yeah.
That's the most important part. So I think there's definitely a renaissance coming for filmmakers who don't really have that bug to move out to LA, you know?
Yeah.
And so I'm one of those people. I'd move virtually anywhere else besides LA for filmmaking.
I don't see the appeal. I see it's far away. It's not easy to get anywhere else
Country. I'm a big, like, and this sounds like a little thing, I guess, but, like, I'm a big seasons guy.
Yeah.
Like, I don't
I'm
like
into it too.
Just year-round summer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want
I think the
seasons.
Idea is, I think the idea is cool. I don't want to live that, though.
No.
And it's something about winter, like, right now.
Yeah.
I
love the winter.
It's funny because I was trying to explain this to my ex-girlfriend. Yeah. She was all Florida.
Right.
We're moving to Florida. No, I'm not. I'm a cool where I'm at. Maybe when I retire, but not now. I said, there's a beauty of having, you know, being here, and it's -4. I get it. It sucks.
Yeah.
But it makes you appreciate so much.
Builds character.
So much more of when it is warm.
Right. Absolutely.
It makes you go to the sun when the sun's out on that day when it's sunny.
If it's
30 degrees like today.
Yeah.
It felt great.
I loved it. And you were born in February, right?
Born in February.
I think if you were born, like, I was born in December. You know? So I feel like if you're born, like, kind of like, I don't know if there's anything to this,
but maybe
there's like you're like a child. You're, you know, a child
maybe
of the winter.
Maybe it's in your DNA somehow.
Yeah. But I do. I like going to like a coffee shop in the winter and like working out, you know, and just seeing like the snow outside. The fall I love. I love
hot chocolate.
Autumn.
I'm not drinking hot chocolate on the beach.
No.
All right? Sorry. No. Not happening.
No.
So, like, you know, I got to drink hot chocolate when there's snow on the ground.
Yeah, absolutely. I just love it. And even the summer. The summer's like, it's finally here, you know?
Yeah.
But then you get sick of it. You're like,
I
want the fall to come. And then, like, in the winter, you're like, when's spring coming? Like, there's something about that.
Yes.
Is important to, I think, the human experience.
It's the yin and the yang. It's the good and the bad. It's
right.
The whole concept. If everything was good and nothing was bad, good wouldn't exist.
Yes.
That's what people don't remember.
Absolutely.
So if it was nothing but sunny and warm all the time,
right,
then it wouldn't actually exist. That's what's crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. And the filmmaker Tim Burton, you know, like he's had a good point because he grew up in like Burbank.
Yeah.
You know, and like that's why he's always obsessed with like Christmas or Halloween in his movies.
Yeah.
Because he's like, that was my only way I could distinguish like what time of year it was. because it just felt like the same time of year.
Yeah, just because of the
decorations.
The
that was it. Like the Halloween decorations and then the Christmas decorations. But besides that, it was just same thing.
Yeah.
Same day.
That's amazing. That's actually really interesting.
Yeah.
Because, just think about it. If you're in warm and sunny Florida.
Yeah.
Or wherever, we'll say warm part of Mexico, Cancun.
Right.
I mean, unless if there wasn't a Christmas tree, you wouldn't know.
It's 100%.
It's crazy.
It's strange. It's very strange.
That to me is a weird concept.
I've never been somewhere like warm for Christmas, and I don't think I ever want to be.
I normally go right after November, and that's when right after November, so right after Thanksgiving.
Okay.
I'll go the first week of December. I always go to Mexico.
It's probably good.
And that's why I'm saying that.
Yeah.
Oh, it's great because then it extends my summer a little bit.
Yeah, that's cool.
And I love to do that. Yeah, that's cool. I'll do an extension, but I'm not interested in doing a full blown.
Yeah. Well, and again, like the seasons is actually a big part of this festival as well because most of the time I schedule for late February, early March because it's still kind of cold, you know, and not a lot of people have a lot of stuff going on. Mm-hmm. So I think that's kind of like nice to have an event like this where you're just kind of like inside all day.
Yeah.
Like I wouldn't do this in the middle of the summer. People want to be out. People want to be about, you know, like they want to be going to outdoor events or something like that. I get that, you know, like that's why I scheduled this for like the winter where it's still cold, still dreary, you know, and you get to just watch some movies in a nice warm building. You know?
Yeah. I mean, that's also true about seasons. Like you're not going to want to watch a movie theater and when it's 100 degrees out.
Right, like all day long now. Yeah. Absolutely. You want to go to like a beer garden, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
you want to be outside, chilling, you want to
go to a baseball game or something.
Yeah,
you know?
It gets like, dark, sun goes out at 9. Right. Like, yeah, it's a whole different ordeal. Well, tell us about some successes, some milestones you've hit.
Yeah, you know, I think like one of the coolest things I was able to do, one of the biggest milestones I was able to, you know, achieve with my relationship with the Plaza is I was able to, you know, organize an event where we showed Night of the Living Dead. To me, like, is probably the greatest regional film of all time. It was made in Pittsburgh by a bunch of people who were making commercials.
Yeah.
One among them, George Romero, another John Russo, and Russell Schreiner, who played Johnny in the film. He became a zombie in the movie. He said the famous, "We're coming to get you," or "They're coming to get you, Barbara." which is a classic, of course, but like, it was in October. I did it 2 years in a row and it was really great and it was super successful and it was really fun. Just to like, I have like, it's kind of weird to think like I actually have like a friendship with those two.
Yeah.
Which is super weird a little bit. Cause like it's a film that meant a lot to me even before I met them. And so being able to like, you know, they asked me about like my son and like all that stuff, like, and we've gone to dinner and all that. So like, that's really like one of the coolest experiences I think I've ever had.
Yeah.
Moments I'll always remember. I think the dinner is more than the event itself. Cause the event itself, I'm like running it. It's like, but like, we just like at those dinners, I'm able to ask like, you know, some really cool questions, like insider questions that you, like, how was George, like, what was George Romero like, you know, like, what was his, you could ask what his favorite food was, you know what I mean? Like, it's really cool, like, inside baseball stuff.
Yeah.
It's that to me has been, like, one of the coolest things I've ever been able to do. It's gonna be hard to beat. Maybe if I meet, like, Martin Scorsese one day, that might top it, but Night of the Living Dead means a lot to me, and it's always
interesting and cool to, you know, have those like little inside things that you would never think of. Cause I know you're saying you're sitting at the dinner talking about different questions.
Yeah.
It reminds me of, I had an employee that had a friend that he went to high school with that ended up being, going to like culinary school.
Oh yeah.
Well, he applied and didn't think he would ever get the job, but he got the job to be, on the, staff at the White House.
Really? Yeah. Wow.
And he did during Trump's first presidency.
Wow.
So he's like, hey, you know, my buddy, he's going to be in town. You know, he tells me all this. He's like, is there anything that, like, you want him to, like, make you?
Huh.
I'm like, yeah. And he's like, what? I go, Trump's meatloaf. Trump's talked about.
He has, like, a special meatloaf.
His mom's recipe is the best there ever was.
Huh.
And he's like, all right, yeah, I'll talk to him about it. So, sure as shit, dude, they made that meatloaf, made it brought back. And I kid you not, that was the best damn meatloaf I've ever had in my life.
I'm a big meatloaf fan, so I got you.
It's mom's special recipe.
Really?
Yeah.
I gotta give that a like, what's so special about it?
I don't know. It was just amazing.
Just super good.
It was so good.
Is it like ketchup? Like, is it ketchup based kind of? Or?
I don't know if it was. I would think it did probably have some on there, but it was phenomenal.
Just phenomenal. Oh, yeah. Man, you're making me hungry now.
I know. I couldn't believe it. I said, that guy was telling the truth, man. It is the best meatloaf.
I've always like.
How cool is that? Not many people get to experience that.
No, I mean, like, I'm a huge, like, presidential nerd. Like, I've been, like, I'm a history buff.
Look it up. He's talked about it. Sometimes you'll hear he'll say, and you're like, whatever, you know. But, no, it's the shit.
That is so cool. That is awesome. I got to, man.
I don't know if I'll ever have it again, but it was
at least you had it once.
Thing, man. It was amazing.
At least you had it once.
Trump probably don't even know I had it.
Probably not. But, you know, nonetheless, it's still a great experience, you know.
It was cool. It was cool.
That's awesome.
So, well, that brings us to number six. Let's talk about some challenges, some stuff that's happened. I mean, you know, obviously it's not an easy thing to, you know, get this whole festival up and going.
Certainly not. I think, like, you know, one of the main things, and I think as any entrepreneur can agree with this, you know, is that, you know, it's just the constant having to prove yourself.
Right.
Every single time at bat. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't matter. I think, like, I'll be running this thing for, you know, finger crossed, 20, at year 20. You know? I still think I'm going to have the same pressure under my, under me. Because, like, every single year, like, I think, like, you know, I do these press rounds, you know, like, every single, you know, January, February. Mm-hmm. It doesn't ever, like, become less press. It's usually more. Yeah. So, like, you think that, like, oh, I can do, you know, even less press this year because I did so much and maybe it's a known entity or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't have to do as much. Like, no, I always have to get the word out there every single time.
Right.
And I'm my own spokesperson. I'm my own everything. I'm my own PR person. I'm the one writing emails to people.
You got
I'm
all the
one contacting people. Absolutely. All the hats. And, you know, can I delegate? Yeah, probably. But I don't know if I'm prepared to quite yet because it's my baby and everything. But,
we all go through that.
We all go through it. And I'm sure eventually, like, if, you know, becomes even bigger and bigger, you know, that's gonna have to be delegated. But it'll
never go exactly how you want it, but that's okay.
Yeah.
It's only disappointing if it goes worse than you want it.
Very true.
The possibility of making it actually better.
Yeah.
You gotta let other people in it, and you gotta let other people run with those ideas, and you gotta let them carve a little piece of your dream into their version, and that's how you make it better.
I agree.
It really is.
Yeah.
You get the best ideas by talking to your team and your team, letting your team run and do it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Just kind of like what we were talking about, the whole wine thing, the wine walk, right?
Very true.
That is cutting into hopefully making something bigger and better. It's an idea, like you said, right?
Yeah, 100%.
You probably would never thought of that unless you had
this conversation.
Or maybe you would have. You never know.
I don't know. I don't know if I would have.
You don't know, but that's the point.
I'm not that brilliant, you know?
I wish I could say I'm that brilliant too. I just know by talking. Just get lucky. Let's put it that way. By talking to people.
I think we all do. You know, we all get lucky, and I've been lucky to meet like people who have definitely aided me along the way. But I think the challenge mainly is just again that constant making it bigger and better every year, and always having to be like, this is a real event. Mm-hmm. This is a valid event. This is a legit event. I don't think ever gonna stop, you know, you always have to maintain that.
I mean, now you're at year three, so it's like, we've done this for, you know, this is gonna be year three, we've done this before, this isn't just some, like, make-believe thing.
Yeah.
So,
it's always getting the new audience as well.
Yeah.
You know, like, I every single year, I always want to see new people.
Of course.
Like, you don't want to just see, like, if, it's always bad when it's just return people.
Yeah.
You know, because, like, obviously, like, that's an issue in itself. You know, you just don't want continual the same people every year. Mm-hmm. So again, like going to different outlets, going to different regions, you know, just promoting it endlessly and just hoping
that's how you grow the audience, grow the bubble, right? That's how you get more people in.
Yeah, extending the bubble.
Yeah.
So I try to do every
meeting
year.
The new next person. I mean, that's what it comes down to.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
And it's not easy.
No, it's never ending.
That was never.
A hunger that never is satisfied is what I call that.
Maybe the meatloaf.
Yeah, maybe the meatloaf. Mom, the meatloaf. Yeah, yeah. Hey, Catalina wine mixer. Hey. Hey, there it is. number seven is, you know, we talk about collaborating with other businesses. Now, the big partnership, I guess you could say, is with the Plaza Theater.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about the Plaza Theater. We don't have a ton of time left, but go ahead and let us know a little bit about that.
Yeah, yeah. Quick, you know, it was built in 1919, back in the silent era, so it has a really rich, cool history. At one point, it wasn't a theater. It became like a Western wear shop. And the person and the family who owned it, like the Doug Sorrell, when they sold the business, and it wasn't anything. It was just laying vacant, essentially.
Yeah.
In 2015, he and a bunch of other people in Miamisburg started the Plaza Theater Association, where they raise a bunch of money. Mm-hmm. They reopened it as a theater.
It's kind of like what they're doing at the Fairborn one here.
Yeah, absolutely. Little Art, you know? Yeah. Or is there one like right in Fairborn?
Yeah.
Okay.
They keep playing the Rocky Horror Show there. Okay. And then it's a historic thing now.
Sure.
And then it's not even a business technically. It's a charity that they converted it to.
Oh, you somehow. Know what? I know the one you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen it. It's one of those situations.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like where it's just
they're saving it and preserving it.
It's you know, it's historical. It's got a really cool history. They've just were so gracious to me. Like when I first ran, like they're a single screener, like they have one screen. So, mm-hmm. When you're doing your event, you're the only show in town.
Yeah.
So, like, your event feels special. You don't have to compete with, like, you know, a film next door that you can hear buzzing from. Like, it's really just a nice, it's a beautiful space, first of all. And it's really always a nice, very gracious staff. Mm-hmm. And very easy to work with, and they treat you like family, you know, if you've been there long enough. Even if you're just walking in, like everyone's always friendly. So like, it's just a great place to have an event like that. So it's been one of the blessings of my life for sure to have that relationship with them.
Well, that's cool. That's cool. Well, talk about the film festival. How can people go to it? How can they get tickets? How can they support you online? How do they get a hold of you?
For sure. First of all, if you want to buy tickets, which I guess is the most important part, you can go to the Plaza Theater website. There should be a link. Just go to March 1st. You just click down on the date, Saturday, March 1st. Catalano Film Festival should be the only thing there. And just click on that. And tickets are $15. But that gets you for all the films, for the whole event.
Mm-hmm.
You can visit us on Facebook or Instagram.
Okay.
The website, I hope to get live in the next century, but, I'm not a website builder and I need to hire out for that. And, wife, kid, day jobs.
Yeah.
It gets a little, time constraining. So I think for next year, look out for that website for this year.
Talk to Sam, my producer, and he does that.
Oh, well, you got to hook me up.
He's very, very reasonable, and he gets it done good.
Cool. Well, that's about making connections.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. Need that in my life for sure. That website has been a,
He will make it. I mean, I don't know if you saw my website. But
Yeah.
Yeah,
so that he did that. Okay.
He did all that.
Awesome.
Yeah.
We got to connect for sure.
For sure.
Yeah. Well, and again, that's for now, look at us for Facebook and Instagram. But, it's third annual, so look out for – this is actually – and I always feel bad about saying this, and this always sounds like disingenuous because you're going to say this about every year. But I'm really excited for this slate of films, and I think it's like some of the best films we've ever had in the festival. Every single one – so we have like really exciting films from – like we have psychological thrillers. We have horror, a body horror film. Crime film.
Okay.
We have a science fiction film.
Oh.
We have like a sports comedy, and then we have a heartwarming kind of like family comedy.
Yeah.
So like it's across the board, but they're all in like well established genres that I think people will really just immediately connect with.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a big firm believer. Always work in genre. You know what I mean? I'm a huge. Any of my films that I make, like I always want to work in a genre because I think it's like having that as a foundation is just like it already buys you like a bunch of brownie points because people are like, oh, I'm going to see a horror film. But then after that, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
You know, because you already hooked them in with the genre. Like, that's all, you know. Because I know my wife, for instance, like, when you go to watch a movie, she types in psychological thrillers, you know what I mean? Yeah. So I'm like, she's already getting roped in with the genre, which, you know, is a – I can go on this tangent forever. But they're all genre films, which is fun. You know?
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. That's great. Well, that's going to wrap us up. What is there any words of wisdom or anything that you'd like to leave us off with?
Patience is a virtue. You know, I think that that's something you have to learn as an artist for sure.
Yeah, I would agree.
It's even as just an entrepreneur, but you know, you just have to know that like your time will come. You know, your phone calls will come in. Your film will be made. It may just take you waiting for the right time, for the right people, for the right budget. You know, like just know that like don't just give up on your dream. You know, because, you know, not to sound corny, but like, you know, I don't want to live in a world where I don't make films. Yeah. So like in my mind, I'm going to do what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
It may take some time, but I want to make it the right way. So patience is a virtue, in life, but also just in this industry. So,
yeah, I mean, I think those are great words of wisdom. I think of, Leonardo da Vinci.
Yeah.
How about that guy? Made nothing alive.
What a great guy. And he also said...
He had a vision, man.
He had a vision, and he also said that simplicity is the ultimate sophistication.
Yeah.
And those are words to live by as well.
He also cut his ear off.
Well, that's Van Gogh.
Oh, sorry, Van Gogh. Yes, sorry. Sorry.
Maybe they both did.
Yeah. Got those.
They swapped ears. But he didn't sell a single painting.
Yeah.
In his life, his brother.
Isn't that crazy to think about?
Insane. Now his paintings go for astronomical amount of money. Yeah. So
you never know.
You never know. You could, exactly. Edgar Allan Poe, there's plenty of them. There's plenty of examples. Like, obviously, you don't want to die like a poor, sad artist.
Yeah,
but,
of course.
Just know your art is valuable. You know?
Yeah, but just know that he never got the validation.
No, but like, His legacy did. But yeah, his art lives forever, for sure.
When he was alive, though, he never got to see it.
That's insane.
It's really wild to think about.
Very wild. Yeah. And it's sadly the case for...
A lot of people.
Too many people.
Well, it was a pleasure having you on here, Johnny.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. And, you know, I might have to come by and support.
I think so. It's a fun time. It's a great town. Maynard's great. So if you just want to...
March 1st. I'm excited.
Yeah, March 1st. And again, Frank, I really appreciate you having me. And this was a great time. Appreciate it.
Thanks for being on the show. And until next time.
Absolutely.
Right. Follow to our Facebook, LinkedIn, and YouTube, or your favorite podcast platform. Be sure to sign up for our email list and receive an email to watch the show Wednesday at 8 a.m. Do you know a great Dayton business that you would like to see on the show? Visit our website at daytonapproved.com and click on the contact tab and tell us who you'd like to see.